Joe, can we quickly do some listener correspondence?
You want to do some? Yeah. What are they saying?
Well, it's
do they have mouths?
Yeah. Speak truth and enter.
Speak friend. Will you stop saying that? My God.
Every time. It's one key email, and it dates back to the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou episode.
I forgot we even had email because the Discord is so much fun that people can join by clicking the link in the description of this.
See the show notes. But if you do email us, movies@gmail.com, I will engage, I will reply, and it's a little bit more special.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know that it is.
Well, anyway, I won't read out anything anyone says on the Discord, but I will read out particularly scathing emails.
I like this. No, you do that, and I will read out things that people say on the Discord, and then we'll see who gets more action.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it the professional football podcaster with 200,000 listeners per episode? Or is it Joe Schmo?
Or is it the guy that was invited to the semi-finals of a local stand-up competition by the judges as the wild card entrance because he's a comedian's comedian rather than a guy that the crowd loved, you know?
Yeah. So...
it's me.
Joseph Berg. So here we go. Joseph Berg. Dear Adam and Joe. Adam, in that last episode, you said that Oh Brother, Where Art Thou had nothing to do with the Odyssey.
You did say that. You kept saying that the Coen brothers had said in interviews that they'd never read it, right, and that they actually, it was just a joke. They just said it as a joke.
Okay, so I said one thing and then you said the reality. So I never said it has nothing to do with the Odyssey. I said the Coen brothers never read the Odyssey.
Uh-huh.
They're on record as saying that. That's all I said.
You heavily implied that the film had nothing to do with the Odyssey.
No,
because
it didn't imply.
Of that fact, though.
Well, no, that's... listen.
What does Joe Berg say?
So Joe Berg continues. You said, Oh Brother, had nothing to do with the Odyssey. While I agree...
Wait, I said this, or Joe Berg said that you said that?
No, Joe Berg.
Joe Berg said that you said...
Joe Berg has said...
Yeah.
I said...
I think it's best, because I'm getting confused, I think it would be best if you did an accent for Joe Berg. Or maybe, you know how some people have a phone voice where they talk normal and then they go, hello? A bit like my voice when I do voiceovers for animated videos.
Okay.
Could you have a go at doing a different voice so that I know when you're reading and I know when you're being you and talking?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
While I agree it's not a one-for-one match, it is definitely inspired by the Odyssey. Please cite your reference for the quote you gave from the Coen brothers. There is the Cyclops, the Sirens, and his journey home, the conflict between men's clever minds and gods. Odysseus, Odi, means man of sorrows. This one is a reach, but in the Odyssey, Odysseus's men kill the sacred cows of Helios, and Zeus punishes them with thunderbolts. Babyface George Nelson hates cows and kills them indiscriminately. He is later killed by the electric chair. Odysseus is the same name as Ulysses, mate. And finally, not to mention the most obvious, the whole film begins with, oh muse, sing in me and through me the story of that man skilled in all ways of contending, I wanderer, harried for years on end. I wonder what book that quote is from. The Clune Dog is the best version of Odysseus, the absolute best, and Matt fucking Damon will be shit. Odysseus is supposed to be a clever, fast-talking asshole, not the boy next door, FFS, with the greatest love and respect, Joe.
Listen, I thought you were going to do a voice. I don't like you just...
So that's the email. I replied to Joe. I said the reference for the quote is the Ian Nathan Coen brothers book. If you choose to get it, I've got it on hardback. And that's where they said we've never read the Odyssey. We're not that fussed by it. They're obviously aware and familiar with, because it's one of those things you're like, you're aware of, I've not read it. I know about the fucking Cyclops.
I got
you
it.
You know about the things of it. And they just, they made their own movie. And of
seems
course,
like
when
emails
the films
hurt you a little bit, you know, because you're really like, you're sort of litigating it as though you're in an argument with your wife or something, or is that, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, you really, I feel like you feel like you're up against the wall or something, you know?
No, I didn't, you know, Joe's already come for me on the Discord. I just wanted to get more engagement on the emails, and I feel like if people think they can get me, then they'll come and get me.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, listen, a couple of things. Firstly, I was won over to the email by the sentence, Matt fucking Damon will be shit.
Yeah.
Every time I watch that Odyssey trailer, I worry more and more. I went to the cinema today and it was on. And I said to my wife, oh, you'll like this because you like ancient Greece and stuff. It's the Odyssey. And she said, oh. She said, is that Anne Hathaway? I said, I know. And then I said, that's Matt Damon as well. And she went, oh. And I said, but it's Chris Nolan. If anyone else had made this film, I would be worried and I would think it was shit. But this is Chris Nolan, and so therefore I assume it's going to be excellent. I really don't know how, you know? I'm really worried about how it's going to be excellent.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host, and Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
Hello, and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, the host, Adam Richmondo.
Wow, you went really high there.
And joining me as ever is the old Mr. Joe Devine.
Do you know, that you used to introduce me as the Leaky Bucket Boy, and something very nice happened in the Movies You Forgot Discord yesterday. Someone came in and said they've got a leaky bucket, they need the hive mind to help remember a film. They described it broadly. Someone got it straight away. Absolutely fantastic. I love the idea of a bunch of leaky bucket people uniting together, hoping that the vestiges of liquid that remain in their bucket are complementary to the liquid that remained in the buckets of others. And that's exactly what happened in the Movies You Forgot Discord. Forgetful people uniting.
I loved seeing that after the fact. But then I was hugely niggled that I wasn't there in the moment to supply the answer. But yeah. Then as I read through it, I hadn't seen the movie. A Matt Damon starring movie.
Another Matt Damon.
The man's everywhere.
He's getting around at the moment, isn't he? You can really tell that it's Oscars season. I honestly think if I didn't know what month it was or what year it was.
What?
Not year. If I didn't know what month of the year it was, I'd be able to tell you roughly based on how much actors start campaigning in interviews. I'd know this is awards season.
He's not up for anything. What are you talking about?
No, he's not up for anything, but he's getting around. He's starting his work early, you know. He's obviously the Odyssey's coming out in the summer. He's around. Ben Affleck's around as well. Also, aren't they in a film that just released on Netflix, right?
Right. So it's nothing to do with Oscars. It's because they're promoting a movie on Netflix.
These are two separate thoughts that come together. Him and Ben Affleck happen to be promoting this film that's on Netflix, but also it's happening in amongst a lot of actors promoting a lot of films and promoting harder than they do throughout most of the year. Do you know what I mean? There's something about this time of year where you start to see an awful lot of online content.
Right, but I think you're looking at a signal, and the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck signal is not the signal for what you think it is. You've assumed that's an Oscar signal. It's not. It's a Netflix signal.
Right. No, but it's adding to a choir of campaigning, some of which is for the Oscars, some of which is just for films that are being released around this time, because there's a general interest in movies at this moment. You know what I mean?
I just feel like you're doing like a slam on Damon, and Damon's not doing it for an award.
Slamming Damon? Why do you think like, I'm you were slamming
like, oh,
Damon?
I feel like I've seen Damon, and it's awards time, and he's doing all these things for awards. It's like he's not sniffing around awards. He's not up for awards.
I'm not coming for Damon. I'm simply saying there's a lot of Matt Damon around at the moment. That's it. There's a lot. You can think whatever you want about that. I'm making a statement about how much Matt Damon there is around, and there's a lot of Matt Damon around. That's it.
Because he's promoting a movie.
Yeah, I know. And he's about to be in another big one. He's in two different places right now. He's promoting a movie, and he's also in the trailers for a separate movie, which is, yeah. Come on. You know, it's a bit like Jesse Buckley. There's a lot of Jesse Buckley around at the moment because she's in a movie and promoting it, and she's on the Oscars campaign trail, but also she's in the trailers for another movie already. And so therefore you get a lot of, there's a lot of lot going on. You see them in a lot of, two places is a lot of places, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, Joe. You've absolutely smashed it.
Plus Matt Damon went on the Joe Rogan podcast. Did you know that? Him and Ben Affleck, they were on there talking up Hollywood and talking about how hard it is to make Hollywood movies and stuff now. On the Joe Rogan podcast.
On today's episode, we are doing... It's 1996's Independence Day, directed by Roland Emmerich, or Emmerich. He's from Germany and now he's an American citizen. Very interesting. I think that will factor in later. Starring William Smith, Billiam Pullman, Jeffrey Goldblum, and... Randy Quaid and others.
Mary McDonald.
Mm.
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia.
Yeah.
It is a disgustingly obese. I'm going to say obese. It's a disgustingly obese 145 minutes. And here is the Letterboxd. The question of whether or not we are alone in the universe has been answered. And that was always, that was played over the poster. Everyone knew what was happening in this movie, the trailer, the poster.
Yeah.
It's a big alien ship over the White House. They've blown it up. Very savvy marketing.
The poster I'm looking at is the alien ship over the Empire State Building.
Yeah, but if you had the real poster is...
This poster's not real.
Well, no, the one that came out, the one that was the, you know, the... It is real because you're looking at it.
It's funny they didn't put the main poster on IMDb. You would think they would put that on there.
You know, when I said poster,
yeah.
I think I meant DVD cover.
Right.
So Stand on Me, I think we're both right, and I just was I misspoke. So I'm really sorry.
Got it. I've just Googled Independence Day DVD cover.
Yeah.
As well, and
I think it's used both, but it's definitely the
White
House.
UK DVD cover. This is interesting. This is interesting because right. The UK DVD cover, the one that you will have at home, is. Of the ship blowing up the White House. The American DVD cover is over the top of the Empire State Building. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because the White House is a more famous symbol of America for international audiences. They want to double, triple check that we understand what's happening. Whereas in America, they've gone for over New York City, which I guess is maybe more impactful to the people that live there. I don't know. That's interesting.
I think they're wrong.
It?
I think maybe they didn't want to trigger people about the White House.
Maybe. Maybe.
Already, yeah. We are at loggerheads.
Yeah, yours wasn't the main one. Wasn't
back
the main
to the letterbox. Strange phenomena surface around the globe. The skies ignite. Terror races through the world's major cities. As these extraordinary events unfold, it becomes increasingly clear that a force of incredible magnitude has arrived. Its mission, total annihilation, over the 4th of July weekend. I think... That is a coincidence.
Yeah,
the
I don't
aliens
know if that was the mission.
Don't. We're not timing it to that. Although, oh dear, yeah. They've picked the wrong week to blow up the Americans. The last hope to stop the destruction is an unlikely group of people. They're not that unlikely.
They're pretty likely.
One's the president, one's a fucking fighter pilot, and the other one's a fucking expert in aliens.
They're all in the main jobs for stopping aliens. I mean, they're not unlikely at all.
The last hope to stop the destruction is the likeliest group of people, united by fate and unimaginable circumstances.
Yeah.
That is the blurb.
Would you like the IMDb?
Yeah, probably, yeah, sure.
It's short and sweet. It reads, the aliens are coming, and their goal is to invade and destroy Earth.
Their goal is to invade and destroy Earth.
The aliens are coming, and their goal in Q1 is to improve revenue year over year by 3.4%, whilst reducing costs by 2%.
Lovely stuff, yeah, I don't mind it. The aliens, how did this happen?
Well,
oh yeah, fuck, this is my fault.
It's your fault, I think, isn't it? Isn't it your fault?
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It kind of doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's finished now. There's nothing we can do about it.
I really didn't, when you said yes to this, I really wished you hadn't. But then when I started watching it for free on Disney, thanks Disney.
Yep. I mean, not thanks, but you know.
Yeah, I'm paying the subscription, so I'm allowed to. This film is 30 years old. I was, how old was I? 15 years old. 15? When I saw this at the cinema.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful Proustian nostalgia take back. And I felt a sense of, yeah, okay, this is quite nice. This is stirring up those kinds of feelings. I remember what a big deal it was when it came out, the excitement at the trailer. Everyone was hot on Big Willy. And so for about a good 50 minutes, I was on board.
50?
Yeah, I kind of was enjoying the sort, even if it was a little bit shit, it didn't have that whiff.
It brought something personal with it. What was the moment 50 minutes in? What's the scene where you start to go, okay, I'm not enjoying this?
Once all the explosions have happened.
Right.
Basically post the White House.
Yeah.
You're in for a real slog of just really boring subpar storytelling.
Yeah.
Because there is really nothing to this story that warrants 145 minutes. So after that, and then Will Smith, he turns up it's a good 20 minutes before you even see him. The more he is in the movie, the more difficult it is to watch. He's aggressively unwatchable.
Yeah.
In this movie, and it became apparent to me just how baffling that he became a huge star as a result of. I think a film like this and Men in Black, but I think this was the big movie that made him, right?
I think so. Men in Black was the first release. The first Men in Black film was after this. I do think he's better in Men in Black. I did rewatch Men in Black 1 a few years ago, and I remember thinking, like, Will Smith is much more charismatic in that film. The character is a lot better suited to him. Also, he plays off of Tommy Lee Jones so well. A lot of the work is done by Tommy Lee Jones as the kind of quote-unquote straight guy in that partnership. But Will Smith, you know, is very, very watchable. In this film, there is... And it's worth saying, like, him and Jeff Goldblum are not really together in the film. They're together for the last 30 minutes. They have no chemistry at all. They're both like the B-type guy with no A-type guy in the, you know, no straight guy in the relationship. And it doesn't really work for me. It also, I think, to be fair to Will Smith, I think Jeff Goldblum's innate zaniness and the lines that he gets in the script force Will Smith into a sort of part of a dynamic where he's less comfortable, where he's the person that's trying to drive the story and the plot forwards, and Jeff Goldblum is the one getting the kind of silly, zany lines, and that doesn't really work for either of them either. So I think he was probably set up to fail a bit in this movie. His best scenes are the scenes where he is completely alone. I mean, the memorable scene we talked about at the end of last week's episode is the scene where he's dragging the alien through the desert. And even on a rewatch, that's not a great scene. It's pretty boring. And also it's weird that Will Smith's character seems to be so angry about the nuisance of the aliens that he keeps going back to kick it in the head, which I found very funny as a child. And now I think it's just sort of like the character is sort of psychotic.
It's horrible,
in the movie.
That scene.
It's horrible. Yes,
it looks like someone. The performance is of someone who's really struggling to find something, and he is by himself a lot of the time. He's talking to himself, he's remonstrating with himself, or talking about the aliens, and he's shouting. When he arrives, he gets picked up by a big band of. People in
RVs,
camper vans. He's got a big alien, and they all arrive. A big swathe of them arrive at Area 51. These just guys on at the checkpoint. They're just regular Joes, you know. And
the
security guards. They're like, you know, their job is to stop people from getting into Area 51. And they say, "Excuse me, what are you doing here?" And Will Smith is immediately like, "Oh, what am I doing here? Oh, I'll fucking tell you what I'm doing here. Oh, you fucking idiots." And he lifts up and he shows the alien. And he's like, "That's what I'm doing here." And they open the door. It's like why are you talking to anyone like that? Like, I know they're part of the US military complex.
Sure.
But it's just like a guy, for his job, he's been told by his boss, make sure no one who's not allowed to get in here gets in here. And then, like, why? It's just unprofessional. And it's such a, that is the closest I imagine to Will Smith being in real life.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. And it's Chris Rock who's the security guard at the Area 51 entrance.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi, Dr. Jizash. How's it going?
Jizash.
Yeah? Is that right, Dr. Jizash?
No, sorry. No. My name's Dave. Dr. Dave Smith.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm having another mental blank. It has been a tough day, Dr. Dave.
Sorry, can I ask who's... my secretary didn't tell me who she was putting through.
Oh, this is Robert. I'm calling for my therapy appointment.
Oh, hang on. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, Robert. Yes.
Great. I don't know where I got Zizash from. That was unexpected, I suppose.
Say it again.
Zizash.
Zizash. Zizash. Zizash.
Yeah, Zizash.
So,
yeah.
Robert, hang on a sec. So you called me up when you got through to my secretary and you asked to speak to Dr. Zizash.
Yeah.
Where do you think you got that name from?
I don't know, but she put me through to you. So maybe she thought it was a nickname or something, like something that I call you.
Don't stick it on Linda. You said Zizash.
Yeah.
I'm called Dave Smith, Dr. Dave Smith, and...
Yeah, it is quite different.
Yeah, it's really different.
Yeah, yeah.
We've talked about this.
I know we have talked about this, yeah. We have.
Where do you get these names from?
Well, I don't know, but when I named you, I was sort of expecting you to say, yeah, that is my name, how can I help you? But instead you said no, which...
Yeah, but I would have thought the name Zizash...
Dr. Zizash.
Dr. Zizash.
Yeah.
Then you would expect me to have a certain accent or...
No, why would you say that? You could be from anywhere.
Really? With the name Zizash?
My name is Dave Dronkenblocker.
No, I'm Dave. You're Robert.
Oh, I'm sorry. Robert. That's right. I'm Robert Dronkenblocker.
Dronkenblocker.
Do you think I would sound German or something? That's just a name.
Well, Robert, I know for a fact your name is Robert Jefferson.
That's just the name I gave you when I called originally, because there's something you don't know about me. There's something
Robert, this is something we have spoken about. You and your persistent insistence, and I apologize for saying that, persistent insistence of inventing silly names. Okay? Zizash.
But don't you want to know
Robert
why I have
Plompenheimer.
To do it?
What? I don't want to know why. I want you to face it and stop doing it.
Okay.
Robert.
Yeah.
What's your surname?
Dronkenblocker.
It still makes me laugh. Sorry, Robert, what's your surname?
Dronkenblocker.
Why have you called Robert?
Well, I've had a very difficult day. I was... at my job today.
What's your job?
Haven't you got it in your notes?
I tried to stay in the moment when I speak to my patients.
I'm a security guard.
Right.
Anyway, I was at work and this guy came and he was very rude to me for no reason. For no reason. And it was hurtful, actually. Anyway, I let him through because You know, you showed me something that I'm not allowed to talk about, which is also why I've got a fake name, because I'm not allowed to give you my real name, which I've tried to express in previous sessions, but you've become obsessed with this idea that I just make up fake. Yeah, I do make up fake names. You're a smart doctor. You've got that far. You didn't ever consider it's because I can't tell you about where I work or who I really am. You just thought I was doing it because of an obsession with fake names. Who would come up with the name Duncan Plopper? No one would say that. Or Zizhash.
Okay, Robert. I'm sorry.
That's not my real name.
No, okay, but I have to give you...
My real name is Blongrog.
Who can you imagine having sex more? Will Smith or Ryan Gosling?
What do you mean? And do you mean like the volume of sex that they're having? Or who, when I close my eyes and try to imagine them having sex, who comes to mind?
Well, I'll just go straight for Tom Cruise. I can't imagine Tom Cruise as a sexual being.
Not at all. He's totally non-sexual.
Right, and I can't imagine Will Smith.
No.
Right, and I can barely imagine Ryan Gosling either.
No, he's real Ken.
Yeah. I don't think I can imagine Harrison Ford having sex.
Oh, I can imagine that.
Can you? Who is your go-to...
Ray Winston.
Surprise me. Winston.
I can imagine Ray Winston having sex, yeah.
But, I mean, you've seen him having sex on screen.
Probably. What's he had sex in?
Scum. Surprise me. Pick someone who's a pretty big name.
I've got it. I know who it is.
But it has to be surprising. If you say to me, oh, Cillian Murphy, well, yeah, of course.
No, because I can't imagine Cillian Murphy having sex. Again, Cillian Murphy is a very, like... platonic sort of
I can imagine
guy. He's not very sexy, that guy.
No, it doesn't. It's not about sexy.
No, I know it's not.
Like,
I know it's
you
not.
Can imagine.
That's part of what goes into it. Here's a guy. He's a dirty guy. He's going to get dirty, okay?
Yeah.
This guy is 100% a guy who has sex, and I think, I mean, they're all guys that have sex, but this guy 100% has sex. And I think, you know, there's a famous series of photographs of him where he's smoking, and he's just the most, like, vacant, ordinary guy. It's Ben Affleck. I can imagine Ben Affleck sexing. I really can. In a way, I can't. Matt Damon can't see it at all. Matt Damon, I could believe he'd never had sex with anyone. He's like, you know,
yeah.
He doesn't even have... He's like his character in Dogma. He's an angel without a penis. Ben Affleck, I reckon he's got a hairy back. I think he's, you know, I think he's like a dirty normal guy, dirty sexy Ben. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. Lovely, lovely answer.
What about you? Who can you imagine like as a sexual person?
But like a surprising one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, like because if I, you know, again, you can say, you know, if I say Andy Garcia, I lose the game. If I say George Clooney, I lose the game.
But George Clooney's wrong. Are we playing a different game? Because George Clooney, I think again, like George Clooney isn't a sexual guy. He does sexuality isn't part of his what he brings.
No, but I can imagine him going,
that's fine, but like I know, so we are playing a different game. The game I'm playing,
right,
is like who is bringing sex with them.
No, that was, I wasn't playing that game,
because like Tobey Maguire's not bringing sex with Leo,
right,
isn't bringing sex with him. Leo is like a platonic, like neutral sex guy.
There's a slight overlap in our game because like, okay. Yeah, I can't imagine DiCaprio,
no,
going down.
McConaughey is a sex guy. McConaughey brings sex with him. I can imagine him having sex. It would be, you know, a bit too sweet, sickly sweet for me. Whispering in the ear of the lover. I don't want any of that. All right.
Nibbling.
Yeah, nibbling away,
nibbling and
nuzzling in this area.
Much.
I don't want
get
that.
Get off there.
But you know, he's bringing sex with him. Whereas Leo, Matt Damon, these people, they're not bringing sex. They don't have sex. So who is it? Who is it for you that's got sex with them? Alfred Molina. Dwayne Johnson doesn't. He's not bringing sex.
Absolutely. Kevin Hart.
No.
You know, Jack Black. Forget it.
Whereas Jason Momoa, he's bringing. No, he's bringing sex.
No, I disagree. This is where our games depart.
You can't imagine Jason Momoa having sex.
No, he doesn't. He's a sexless Ken doll. If you're in the Fast and the Furious, you have never had sex and never will have sex.
Is Jason Momoa in the Fast and Furious?
Yeah, Fast and Furious 7 or 8.
Is he? Wow.
Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Jason Momoa, Dave Bautista, Chris Pratt. None of you have ever had sex.
When was the last time you heard from your father?
Daddy. Jeff Goldblum in this movie, he looks very young, doesn't he? Don't you think that when the camera pans onto his face, he's playing chess with his papa in New York City? He looks like his skin looks like it's never had any acne of any kind. You think, God, where's this pretty boy come from? This guy that we all thought Hollywood tried to sell him to us as an alternative guy. He's not an alternative guy. In 99 rooms out of 100, he's the most attractive person by a million miles, you know?
Yeah, he looks young in this. He does look younger than he is in Jurassic Park, which we know comes out 2 years prior.
Yeah, so how's that? How's that work? They make him look. Do you think they make him look older in Jurassic Park? They dress him up. They age him up. And then they bring him back down again for this starring role.
I think it's the leather.
Mm.
Maybe also because he's starring against Sam Neill and, Sir Richard Attenborough.
Yeah.
You think, you age him up in your mind.
Because he can't be this kid alongside them. He's got to contend with those people, hasn't he? He's got to feel like he's got a bit more heft about him. Will Smith also looks very young. He is young in the film. But something that was interesting to me was that I kind of knew in my head, these guys are not the same age, I know that. I didn't realise the age gap was what it was when I was looking at them in this film. Do you know how many years there are between them?
I don't. No. Like, so Will, Big Willie, is going to be in his early... Is he in his early 20s? Is he in his... is he 25? So
this film, what we say, this film came out, what?
96.
So 30 years ago this film came out.
30 years ago.
Yeah. So he's... When they're filming it, assuming that was in 95, Will Smith is about 26 years old.
Brilliant. And I bet Jeff is in his late 30s.
He's in his 40s.
Well, what early 40s?
He's 42. There's 16 right. years yeah, between so the I two said of them, late which 30s. I think is... Yeah, so, well yeah. done. Yeah. Okay. This is less about whether you're right at this part and more just about how astonishing it is that how young I think Jeff Goldblum looks in this movie. It's very strange. Anyway, this inspired me to try a little game with you. A little game I like to call Are They Older or Are They Not Older? Yeah?
Mm.
Now, we've started with Will Smith. We're going to explain the rules now. You know that Will Smith today is 57 years old. So when I say Jason Goldblum, you say, is he older or is
Jason
he not older?
Who the fuck is Jeff Goldblum?
Sorry.
Who the fuck is Jason Goldblum?
Yeah, my bad. Jeff Goldblum, is he older? You know he's older, so you'll say he's older. Say it.
Older?
I'll say, yes, he is older. He's 73. And then I move on to more actors and we go, older or not older? We'll see if you can get all the way through correctly, okay?
Okay.
So the next actor... playing against the last one, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Younger.
Obviously, he's younger. Yeah. He's 51. Chris Evans.
Younger.
He's 44. That's correct. Dwayne Johnson.
Older.
53. You're right. Scarlett Johansson.
Younger.
41. Correct. Tom Cruise.
Older.
That's correct. He's 63. Jason Momoa.
Younger.
46. That's correct. Okay. That's basically how the game works. That was really, really easy. Now it's a little harder. Ready?
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Is he older or not older than Jason Momoa, who is 46?
This is a great one. The first one you ask when it matters is great. I'm going to say younger.
He's not younger. He's older.
Oh.
He's 49 years old.
Ooh. Ooh, okay.
Okay, here's a slightly easier one. Keanu Reeves.
Older.
Yeah, he's 61. Okay, now it's hard. Nicolas Cage.
Older.
He's 62.
Yeah.
He's only 1 year older than Keanu Reeves.
I know, I said older. That's still close, though. No, that was good. Joe, sorry. That was really
now,
good.
Now. There's one more person.
Now.
And I think when I say Robert Downey Jr., I don't know if it's going to be what you expect or not. Is Robert Downey Jr. older or younger than Nicolas Cage?
I mean, they're contemporaries, for God's sake. And I think he's older.
He's not older.
Is he not?
He's not older. He's 60 years old only.
Okay. Oof.
So Robert Downey Jr. is 60. How old is Sandra Bullock? Older or not older?
Not older.
She's older. She's 61.
Oh, what a
she looks incredible for 61,
old
doesn't she?
Good witch Lord. Bullock.
It doesn't feel right, does it? Doesn't it feels feel wrong. Right.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, the films, maybe not, I mean, I suppose it is political. Political with a kind of lowercase p. Its political outlook is hilarious. It's like absolutely obscene. And it's seen most in the scenes later on in the film where the Americans, you know, the characters have come up with a plan. But they need a coordinated attack, a concerted effort from everyone all around the world. And the satellites have been destroyed by the aliens. So instead, they're using Morse code to send messages around the world. And the first scene of allies that you see is in the Iraqi desert, where there are some Iraqi soldiers who clearly aren't capable of organizing themselves because the British are there, the incredibly posh British are there. And the line, I think the script literally reads, sir, it's the Americans. You know, they have a plan. And he says, oh, it's about time they have a plan. What is it? What should we do? You know, as though the rest of the world is just there waiting for America to decide. This amusing notion that all of the other world's nations would be simply waiting on with bated breath for America to lead the way and decide. And this, you know, then you have a similar scene in China and a similar scene in Africa. There are some depictions of Africans which are very bizarre in the film, let's just say the least. And the central message of this movie is the through line is all the way there in Bill Pullman's big speech, for example, is that it was unity. It was the world being together that got rid of the aliens. But very, very clearly, the film is saying, with no irony, no, like, it's not a question in the mind of the people that wrote this film, the world is united under America, led by America, with the decisions are all made by the people of America. It's the most 1996 movie I've ever seen. As far as eras go, it's right smack bang in the middle of like the peak of the American Empire, right? Like that is the height of America's success on the planet. That is, it's the most that America is you know, ahead, is a superpower, is ahead of other nations, is like is dominating the world, is leading the world conversation. In 1996, America would be probably the country that would be the first to send a nuke to try and attack a big spaceship, right? It's very interesting there. I think this film can be viewed as like is almost a historical, you know, cultural document to show how Americans viewed themselves and viewed their own country without any hint of embarrassment or shame or anything. I mean, this is what they think, and to watch it 30 years later is very interesting because it really doesn't feel that way anymore.
That's why I had that warm, nostalgic feeling about it. That things were simpler. It's nice to think that there's just this big one massive power that can sort it, you know? It is, and that's what a big blockbuster's for.
I don't think they've done it on purpose at all. They've done it through naivety and stupidity, and it doesn't matter, and it didn't matter in really probably that much in 1996. Watching it now is funny.
this one before. There's nothing original in my words. If it sounds familiar, it's 'cause I'm recycling a prior opinion. Why can't you find something new to say? Why can't you find something new to say?
Well, would you like to play the box office game?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's play the box office game.
This is a tricky old Ricky, isn't it? Independence Day. What do you think? Budget brackets estimated. Now, you'll note this was July 7th. That was its opening weekend. So I guess it was aiming for the July the 4th weekend, wasn't it? Which we discussed last week, because The Patriot also went for a July the 4th weekend release. Roland Emmerich, clearly the guy you call when you want to do a July the 4th weekend release.
Yeah, that was the big release date for a long time. It's going to be around the same as the Patriot, which I thought was over 100. So 120 million?
The budget?
Yeah.
Well, The Patriot was 4 years later, wasn't it? I think that was in 2000.
Oh,
maybe
shit.
They had more money then, because this one's made in 1996, and this budget is $75 million.
Wow.
I mean, still quite a lot of money, isn't it? But they do a lot with it. For 1996, they probably do quite a lot with that.
The model work on this is really good. You know, it doesn't feel too horrible and CGI at all. That was the one good thing about the flick is... They wouldn't bother doing this model work, you know?
They wouldn't do it today.
They'd just do it in a computer and it would look shit. It looks
good. You know, one thing they do though, is they have very Stargate SG-1 explosions.
Mm.
I have to say, when the multiple mini ships are coming down and attacking the floor, the Earth, what you see often is that there's just like big jets of fire coming out of four distinct areas over and over again, where they have big flamethrowers or big, you know, controlled explosion sites. And it feels very TV sci-fi, some of those moments. But yeah, you're right. The model work is nice. They clearly spent their money well. Okay, it is July the 4th weekend, July the 7th. What do you think this movie takes? Opening weekend, sorry. US and Canada.
I think it makes a lot. I think it makes 40 million.
It makes more. It made $50 million.
Oh, I'm pretty close.
You are pretty close. Not within the 10%, but you're pretty close. Yeah,
a lot closer than the budget.
That's true. I'm curious what do you think? The 10%, the 10x rule here. I wonder if that applies for gross worldwide. What do you think? Work it through in your head out loud.
So you're saying it made 50?
It made $50 million on opening weekend.
So you think it makes 500 million?
Well, no, I was just wondering, like, you know, obviously you'll remember with the well,
you're
10X
only saying
rule.
This because you know it's you.
I'm just saying, with the 10X rule, there's the 10Xing, and then there's the word of mouth carry, the enjoyment factor. Did people like this movie? Did they say, you guys got to get out there and go and see it, get the bums on the seats? Did it carry? Did it grow? Was there rapido, rapido, rapido? You know?
Yeah. Okay. So there's the 10X thing, and then there's you retconning, like, oh yeah, that's the. It made more than 10x because this is what the extra boost
was. Well, am I saying
was.
That? Am I saying that? Or am I trying to convince you that it made more than 500 so that you.
It did make
foolish.
More than 500 because.
Oh, how do you know that?
This was a big. Well, because I was there.
You were there?
Well, it was the response to this flick was I went to see this twice at the cinema.
That's how you know it made more than 500.
Yeah,
because I
went to see. Yeah.
All right, how much more?
No, not much more.
Not much more? You don't think much more?
Okay, maybe 750 mil.
Well, that's quite a lot more, isn't it?
Is it? Not that much more.
It made $817 million.
Great, which is quite close to what I said, which is 750.
It is within the 10x. The 10x. Yes. It's within the 10%. You weren't obviously on opening weekend or budget,
it doesn't count. But I was very close. Well, it does count. I was very close with budget, and I was very close with opening. I was very close with opening weekend.
Depends far what off you in think budget. A very close means.
If you say five and I say four, that's close. Okay,
that's true. But if I say 50 million and you say 40 million, that's 10 million away.
If you say 50 and I say 40, that's very close.
Well, that's 10. Okay. That's 10 away.
Right. It's close. It's close. It's
10, not 10 million. You know, it's close. I agree it's close. It's not very close.
It's pretty close.
No, it's not pretty close. It's close. It's not pretty close. Pretty close would be, let's say, within 8. That would be pretty close. Very close would be within 4 or 5. Close is 10. I'm giving you close. If you were 15 away, you're just not anywhere near. You're not close at all.
Listen, if it's 50 and I say 48 or 52, I've basically got it. Okay.
No, that's true. That's, no, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. That's
right,
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hold on. Right, then hold on. If you said 45 to 55, I would say that was very close. Very close.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
If you said 42 to 57. I would say that's pretty close.
Pretty close. Yeah. Right. Pretty.
But
close.
If you said 40 or 60, I'd say that's close. You're close.
Yeah. No.
Not very close. Very far from very close.
Yeah. Just close. Yeah. Close. Close. Pretty close.
Yeah. You were close.
I'm close, but I'm pretty close to pretty close, aren't I? If you think about it. You know, where you've...
Yeah,
you,
okay.
You mark them
you're,
all out.
You're closer to pretty close than you are to not close, to right. No category of close.
Great, exactly.
But that's nothing. That's nothing. That's like...
Well, it's something.
Wait! Stop! Stop! Turn around! Turn around! Take a step!
Is it my turn? It is my turn.
Hang on.
Isn't it?
No, whoa. Sorry, hang on a sec. It sounded like you were trying to introduce the next segment of the show.
Can I tell you something before you carry on with your bit?
Yeah.
My wife has just messaged me. We went to the cinema today. We saw Hamnet, which, out of respect to you, I'm waiting for you to see before we discuss. That doesn't mean anything other than I think you should see it in the cinema, which also doesn't mean much.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's close rather than pretty close, okay?
Doesn't mean anything. Useless info.
Anyway, my wife is, I think she's been having a bad day. We got home from the cinema and she said, oh, I've left my water bottle, like a nice one that she really likes, at the cinema, which I thought was a shame. So to be nice, I thought, oh, you know what? I'm just going to get her another one of those water bottles. I'll just go online now and I'll buy it right now, like impulsively, as gesture to show her, don't worry about that water bottle. Here's another, let's get you a new one. We'll get you a new water bottle. So I've ordered that new water bottle.
In like the movie Hamnet, when Shakespeare's kid dies, he says to the wife,
yeah,
Don't worry. I'm just going to order a new one of these kids. Don't feel anything. Don't feel sad.
Do you know
sad.
That they're twins in Hamnet? Do you know that?
I think it's called Hamlet as well. You keep saying Hamnet. Have you got like a Hamnet?
Anyway, my wife has texted me here to say it seems that I did not leave my water bottle at the cinema. It's in the bedroom.
That's amazing.
I've done all that. I've bought a new water bottle. A nice expensive water bottle. I bought a new one to come tomorrow as a gesture. which is now completely, you know, it's just now it's like a frivolous gesture rather than a nice one. You know,
no, it's really nice because you give it to her and you say, it's like
she knows I bought it. She watched me buy it.
Great. Well, so the gesture's not frivolous. It's like
I'm thinking if my water bottle wasn't in front of me, I might think maybe I left it at the cinema. But if someone was about to buy me a replacement water bottle, I would then think maybe I should just check the other room first.
Right.
So, before I let this happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's welcomed the gesture. She's welcomed it in. She's like, yes, I want a new water bottle.
Because if you don't click buy, it doesn't mean anything. It's like when I said I walked past the Back to the Future musical and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be hilarious if I bought a ticket for me and Joe to see the Back to the Future musical? He hates Back to the Future. And then I thought, I'm not doing that. I'm not actually going to do that. But what I'm going to do is when I see him next, I'm going to say, oh, I just walked past the Back to the Future musical. I thought about buying this for you as a joke and making you go to see it. Doesn't mean anything. You just said to me,
it didn't mean anything.
You said, and you looked at me like, why have you just wasted your time saying that to me?
Right. I was upset that you even said it. I didn't want to know. You should have kept it in your own head, you know?
Right. So it's the same with the water bottle.
Speaking of that, by the way, we were together because we went to see 28 years later, the Bone Temple. I will say one thing we agreed on, which is that, what's his name? Jack O'Connell?
Yeah.
He's very good, right?
Yeah, he's all right, yeah.
Oh, come on, he's very good. He's very watchable. He's very watchable. His line readings are all excellent. I think they're superb.
You know what? On reflection, I think he really loves himself and I think he's a fucking nothing.
Good and I Lord.
Think he's like, oh, yeah, I love myself and I think I'm great and I'm going to do this and aren't I clever? And I don't think he's acting at all. I think he's just playing himself.
All right, come on, introduce the last bit then, before I do.
You're the one who spent 10 minutes talking about a fucking water bottle.
No, I mean, you were getting annoyed with me for like trying to introduce it. Now I'm like, you do it. Come on, you do it then.
No, I was going to do it.
Yeah, you do it. Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
Adam.
Listen.
Listen.
Should we...
Do you want to play?
Hey. Shall we stop mucking around and do the bit in the show where one of us reads out a list of movies they forgot to catch out the other people? Catch out the other person? Yeah. Can I say, though, just as a little caveat,
Emmerich today.
No Roland Emmerich. People who were emailing in movies you forgot at gmail.com. I've got there have been some wonderful communal list suggestions. Now, all of this is very much up in the air when people suggest films for the show. I don't think people realise anymore what's happening to those. I'm just going to say it now on record. If you email in a great suggestion, I'm putting it on my list and I'm noting down if it's a good one. And if I suggest it, you're going to get name checked because there's been some good ones.
Great.
Donald.
And can you share the ones with me that you think are forgottens for you?
No,
but you think if you say one to me that's come from Donald, for example, and I'm like, that's great, but I remember that. But you're like, I don't remember that. Then I could get you on it. You know what I mean?
No, you don't read the emails. So Donald, Rahul, Philip... I've got you. You've made the list. You've made my list, and I'll be slinging them at Joe. Joe, he's pristine. He only picks movies from his own mind. Sometimes, I mean, these are great suggestions, and I would have thought of them by myself.
Right.
But I'm happy
at some point.
Yeah. There's some really good ones, and they're coming in the pipe. But that's all I was going to say. So yeah, get me.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
How about Blade Runner 2049?
Oh.